Good night. And it's a pleasure once again to be a host on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96. And, you know, we cover a lot of topics around the country. We provide a lot of solutions. Many of the callers are very knowledgeable and very respectful on the conversation that we have on this show, especially on Inside the Inner City. So I really appreciate you guys. And your input is very, very important. We also talk about solutions. And we come up with some great solutions. And if our leaders, which they do, listen to the show, they take their the pointers and they apply it. But we want more in the country. And sometimes, you know, even though we want more, we still have to have a conversation with issues that are affecting us on a daily basis. So today's show, we're going to, you know, Inside the Inner City is a Kong Salad show. We don't particularly stay on one topic the whole entire show, an hour and 30 minutes on one particular show. So we cover a lot of different topics, and we come up with a lot of great conversation and solutions. So sometimes we like to be Kong Salad. So today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about what the president of the Christian Council said to the Bahamian people when it comes to the Pride event that will be held next month or so. I think he had for a whole month. And he made a statement concerning this, and not to mix his words up, I try to say it as best as I can or interpret it the best way I can. He said that, you know, the only problem he had with persons of that behavior was that they wanted to use the University of the Bahamas compound to host their event. And he said that's why the Christian Council objected to it. Well, I don't know what kind of God or Christ that certain individuals are falling in the country, it certainly can't be of God. Because if we say this country is a Christian nation, we need to abide by it. If we looking at to see the robbers and murderers and rapists and pedophiles in the country, and we saying we want stiffer penalty, you know, because we're seeing people assault young children, boys and girls, right, at a young age. We had Marco, then we just had a little girl, Ariel, in Carmichael Road, who was also murdered and raped by a male. But in either case, don't you think these type of actions come from some type of energy that is in some type of life form? And we on the Christian Council, that's supposed to be
the gatekeepers.
Right? Supposed to be setting the example and principle to say, knowing, at least I don't think they know, that these things are all tied, child abuse, violence, sexual intercourse, violence against man, woman, against
pedophilia.
All this is connected to that particular lifestyle and still the normal lifestyle, but this particular lifestyle is changing the mindset of the young youths. They don't know if they're man or woman. And the church, I mean, this particular church leader is saying that, he is saying that they have rights. Yes, we all human rights. Me and you have rights. The man and woman have rights. The children have rights. The old people get rights. The dog get rights. Okay? Eh? The real get rights because they protect it, right? Okay? I know about no other rights. okay? All I know about human rights, if you're locked up in the police station and getting abused by the police, or if you get, you understand?
Being mistreated some kind of how.
Right, right. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about an comment made by one or two individuals. But we want to start the show off first with the Honorable Prime Minister giving a speech at the late, great Vaughn Miller, Minister of Environment. And I want you to listen to the words, Google. And this is my special guest. He's been on the show a few times. Right? And he's going to tell you his real name. And I'm going to let him comment after we play this and comment on what the Prime Minister has to say. And to show you, listen to the words of the Prime Minister. Hollow, and you should stand up for what's right. And the words he is saying should be directed at a lot of politicians, a lot of pastors in this country, because he spoke highly about the late, great Vaughn Miller, Minister of Environment. And we're going to play the clip, but I want the Bahamas to listen closely to the words of the leader of the Comrade of the Bahamas. Go ahead.
He took stands that were not always popular. Sometimes he stood alone, but he never betrayed his conscience. That is why people respected him. They may not have agreed with him, but they believed in him. Vaughn's example reminds us that politics without principle is hollow. It is better to risk unpopularity than to abandon what is right.
I was incredibly surprised and
now,
deeply saddened.
I just want y'all to listen. Did y'all listen to those words just now? He's saying hollow, standing for what's right. And sometimes it's better, right, to be hated, right? But always
do the right thing.
Do the right thing. But now you're hearing this from the Prime Minister, but we had a Christian council, see? And we're saying we're a Christian nation. So you see, my brother, you see why we're going backwards and backwards and backwards? Because we don't know what to believe in this country. We don't know what a Christian is. We don't even know what a good person is, eh, in this country. We don't even know who's the criminals in the country at this particular time.
The thing is, Mr. Brown, is that one must be conscious. Mm. We have to be conscious of what we do. We have to be conscious of what we say. We have to be conscious as how we live as a people. The Bahamas is a supposedly Christian nation founded on Christian principles. And you may say, what is Christian principles? Mm-hmm. Living Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And if a nation then says to you that these are our standards, these are our pride principles, this is what we are doing as a nation, we don't accept this. Every man have the right to their personal views and their opinion. But there is a standard when you come into my house. You don't just let anything in your house, right? You have a standard, you have rules within your home. I mean, sometimes the burglar may go through the window if he can't come in the door. But he knows that if he's caught coming through the window, what could take place. One must think about the pebble, though. If you place it in the water, you mine a particular thing. Tomorrow it can grow into something catastrophic, a man be moved, something that will become difficult to move. So we must be careful what it is that we adhere to and what we accept as a nation. Because the other generation that follows us, they are looking on. And beyond looking on, we have to be careful of these things that become now a practice. Because once it becomes a practice, it becomes a daily routine. You accept it, you think that it's okay to do these things. And so we were called to lead and to stand at the gate, to stop certain things from happening, to say, this can't happen. This is the Bahamas. We believe in this. This is what we've been founded on. You know what I mean? We've been spared by the Most High God in regards of these things that are happening, the hurricanes and so much things, because of our principles and things that we do daily. It's a practice. And so, you know, these people that are coming in and they're bringing their idol gods. They're bringing their way of life. So they're changing the way we are as a nation. They're changing the way we are as a people. One must be careful of that. And so any leader or persons in leadership position, they must take the approach where they understand is bigger than just them.
Yes. And they signed these agreements. Do you think that they took some type of payment? Because, you know, we are conspiracy theorists, and sometimes the Bahamian people, we don't have the evidence like on paper. But we start to speculate and see through the lines and 100%, 96 times, our little theory, like Jesse Ventura, conspiracy theory, it's be true. I'm not saying this is true, right? But people are saying.
But we would have saw the rainbow flag would have been hoisted in the Bahamas.
Okay.
A Christian nation on our rock. And Ralph, he said, are we pressured by the international bodies? Are we pressured by accepting or because we're constantly going to these people to ask for funding to do a project here and a project mm-hmm. there. You know, we have to ask ourselves what is divine thing that we are signing on to allow them to even say give you funding. Because again, the borrower is a servant to the lender.
Yes.
And so the lender sets the stipulations for the borrower. And that's something that we must understand as a people. And I hear a lot of people say that they're building our country by building brick and mortar. Brick and mortar doesn't live. The only way the country can be built, you have to build people. People build countries. Mm-hmm. So the country that we live in is the Bahamas, a unique place, 700 islands, reefs, and keys, a paradise among many because of the people. Rock changes. You can go into Jamaica and you can find beaches, you can find hills, you can find mountain, beautiful, breathtaking places, Bali. You can go anywhere.
Hot spring and all the fire coming out of the water, healing waters.
But what makes the difference is us as a people, the way that we treat people, the way we interact, the things that Bahamians were known to do, the courteousness, the thing that, you know, the pleasantry, you know, being a Bahamian was just, it was more than just a saying. It was meant from an action, something that people felt. You make people feel like, you know, they belonged, not realizing what they're doing. And, you know, these things are going quickly on social media. You didn't even get a chance to even know that a loved one was hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, you're just looking at that, and it's good for like or share. You know, when somebody would have been hurt in the communities, I mean, the whole neighborhood stopped.
Yes, yes.
This was the talk. We talked about that one particular person for weeks.
Yeah.
Nowadays, yeah.
It's like nothing.
It's like, you know, today is him, tomorrow is somebody else, and nobody's stopping, nobody's checking. Nobody's saying, you know, sound the alarm. It needs to stop.
Do you think this vulgar behavior, this is just one, do you think this vulgar behavior that is going to be introduced not only to our kids, but to the entire nation, right? Do you think this is going to help effect on us to seeing people walking in a particular way, holding hands? So we're saying to our kids, you know, go to school, get your education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then when you finish this, find a nice boyfriend, find a nice girlfriend, settle, think about the future and get married. Now, how is this going to affect their mentality now, young kids who are growing up, who have been taught this, they're seeing this in their house and et cetera. Now, we're not taking away the lifestyle of an individual. Why we want to make it so bold that the nation needs to see it?
Because
you could do that inside your house. You understand? Your privacy, whatever inside your house,
It can't work in the house.
Why can't work in the house?
It can't work in the house because what happens is that these people are getting more bolder in regards to they want you to know their truth. They want you to accept their truth. And so you don't see the heterosexual man saying, hey, I'm a real man. Let's have a parade because we're having real man day. You don't see real men standing in the community to say, we are real men and we're standing against these things. But these persons are selling a lifestyle. They're now selling this to the younger generation to say that this is acceptable. You can live your truth. You can be born a male, but you could become a woman. You know what I mean? These are things that are getting pushed down the mouths of these people and say, hey, you can live your truth. This is okay. One time ago, it's unacceptable. You could never see a person in the Bahamas ever hold hands.
Yeah.
I mean, but now you're looking at the world and how the global world is set and the rules that they're putting down and the acceptance. And, you know, if you don't go with it, then it's like you hate people. And if you know what I mean? As for me in my house, if I can serve the Lord, I have to serve the Lord based on what he says.
Boy, this crazy. You don't know how to believe in God or how to believe in Jesus. Nah, Yahshua and Yahweh, they're the original names, but in English, we call them that. And it's very confusing for people who are trying to find God because the leaders in these particular fields, you know, they confusing. One minute, you know, he does something good when he talked about how many pastors are hypocrites and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we applaud him for that, for speaking on saying that, you know, pastors go and use their position to go for politics and clout and et cetera. You know, he come back 2 months, 3 months later. You know, maybe because he got scrutinized
mm-hmm.
from his colleagues, you know, saying that he probably didn't say that. But the prime minister just stated that one has to do this to be this like if you're speaking the truth.
If you're doing the right thing.
But a man who say he loved God and loved Jesus, now me and you are sinners, brother.
Yes.
But I'm more Christian than plenty of these people who say they're Christian, right?
You can compromise yourself, you know, Mr. Brown. And we find that... throughout the leadership positions, we're seeing our people become compromised. Mm-hmm. And for more than one reason, some of the reasons, like you're saying, is that the householding that if 10 of them are going left,
yes,
and you don't want to be the odd one to say, I'm going to go right.
Yes.
Or, you know, doing the right thing is to stop you from doing that. Or say, pull you in and say, hey, you know, man, Mr. Brown, you need to do things a kind of a little differently because, you know, people are looking up to you and so forth. Mm-hmm. So rather than you saying that to you and you disliking me by scolding you by or telling you or pulling you on the side and lifting you up and say, hey, listen, you're much better than this, man. Let's try to do this like this. You know, they have a problem with people speaking their minds or telling you what is wrong.
Their problem is they whine with man. Y'all whine with man. See, again, they whine with man. You whine with what your colleagues say, my brother. You read the Bible. You hear about the judgment. You hear about the false preachers who preach and carry the sheep astray. And honestly speaking, I'm going to speak my mind. The problem is they speak the truth. And I always speak my truth, even though he don't speak his truth. One, you know, he speaks, you know, but he's...
It one must go past just a conversation. And you cannot continue to say things because it sounds good.
Sounds good.
You have to follow that by action. You know, I don't watch what they say. I watch what they do.
No.
You know, so we're looking at people in the inner city. We're looking at the cries of the people in the inner city.
Yes.
We're looking at the daily people that go out every morning and they try to make sunshine or make a way. You know, in the ghetto, we say, you're trying to make a little hustle. You're trying to do a hustle. And so, you know, people are buying snacks and groceries for their kids every morning. They cannot afford to do it like some other people that can go and they can purchase their grocery in wholesale or in abundance. You know what I mean? So we must be able to be our brother's keeper and look at these people. You know, there was a mantra one time where they says that, you know, dry every tear. They said that to look and for the most vulnerable, for the sick, the shut-in, the special needs.
And what Christ say? If you do for who? If you do for the poor?
Yes, definitely.
So again, they ain't reading this book. Father say, if you do for the poor, you do for me.
Or you do for me, and beyond doing for me, you have now created an area where you have now
Christ-like.
You're living Christ-like.
Yes,
it's an action now. So you're living Christ-like.
Google, I see we have the phone line. Before we go to that call, I just want to say this to the president of the Crystal Council. So, with all due respect, I respect your position. I respect you as a man
of cloth.
Soak of cloth. Honestly. Because a man of cloth is supposed to be the boldest and bravest. I on this radio, and I challenge the world. Just like how you say, there are a lot of people who saying, I on the radio, I talking this, and I talking that. And you know what I say? I say, the hell with them. I know what they're doing. I'm fighting for a country. And now I might not have an army behind me, but I have the greatest army, God.
I'll tell you one thing. Can you wake a sleeping man up who's pretending to be asleep?
No.
Okay.
No. So I just want to say this. Sir, you're leading people is great. You're preaching the word of God. You need to apologize and do the right thing. Because, sir, on that day, we're all going to die one day. And I watched Dante Inferno. Hey? And with the book name, the book of Enoch, I read these things. And they say the hell is like a human body. And they say the worst part of hell is in the head part. They said it's the worst part of hell. And they said the worst set of people are going. And I'm not saying you, he is the worst set of persons. But when you are representing God and you got the nation, I'm not the only one saying this. You're not the only one saying this. When he said that, there's my auntie, people everywhere in the world.
My question is, what is his position?
The president of the Crystal Council.
Repeat that one more time. What's his position?
The president of the Crystal Council.
If you're the president of the Crystal Council, you are the gatekeeper. You are responsible to be responsible in your answering. You're responsible for the people that are looking up to you and who are looking on to you.
Yes.
We must be mindful of what we let into our house. We must be mindful of what we say because it impacts a generation.
Because people don't respect him. They just disrespect him just a little. Now he's not respected no more. It's not. I'm saying it. I'm being upfront because, again, there are still values and a lot of behemoths in this country. That's why there's still Christian values in this country.
What
we're going to stand for.
Don't
regardless
compromise.
If we're poor or what.
Don't compromise.
We're going to take this one call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside the inner city.
Godly day, it's first back in the waste along with you and your guest, Scooch.
Yes, sir. Good.
Did I hear one of you said, I was in the next room, but did I hear one of you all say that this is a Christian nation?
Yes, we did.
Well, this is not a Christian nation. Some of the people in this nation a Christian?
Oh, yes. Now you get... Boy, you, that's the best answer ever. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's all I really want.
Good answer, Bremen. I like that.
But I like when Bremen comes on.
Yeah,
Bremen,
that's a good point.
Give a thing. But I'll say this to you, Bremen, is that when the angel went into the city of Sodom,
and
he went into Lot to speak to Lot, because Lot was covered under Abram, he said, I'll save the entire city if you can give me 20. So we have to be mindful, like he said, that there are some people in the day as Christians, right? That the Lord will spare the nation for those that are saved in that nation if you could only find me 20.
But that's the right answer. We supposed to be a Christian nation, but we are not, but there are many good Christian people in there who live in the value. And when I said what it is to be a Christian, this is how I think it should be. It should be an honest man or woman who comes from it could be a family-oriented, you know, where they have their generation of kids. They teach them not to steal.
Principles, values.
Not to touch other things that do not belong to them. Don't gossip. Get your education. Be respectful to people.
Be helpful.
Be helpful. You know, have a kind heart, but always have the fear of God inside of you.
Well, that's the beginning
of
knowledge.
Teach them the 10 or 20 commandments that is necessary. Teach them about patience. Teach them about not getting too angry. And always have a compassionate heart. But always have a heart also to deter away from doing evil when you get amongst other people. That's helping your neighbor. That's what I feel what it is to be Christian-like or God-like in the country. Let me see if I get the next clip. Let me see if I can find a Google. Let me go right to this next one. This is the next statement made. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, people. I'm very sorry for that. I suppose that is organized. But I'd be so busy doing a lot of stuff in the community. I find it right now. 1 second. Or we can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hello?
You're up in the feedback.
Hello?
Still up in the feedback? Go ahead, caller. You still there? Okay.
Caller, you can call back, caller.
Okay, caller, call back. Okay, I just want to play this here. I like to listen to these people. This is the Honorable Fred Mitchell before we get to our second topic. Are we going to play this? Hold on a second. Let me hear. Which mic I can use, Wally? Anyone? I'll use this one right there. This is a call. Oh, sorry. My bad. Go ahead.
Because you have all these egos, you know, everyone has gotten their
name. What's that?
Brave Davis, who is the leader of our party, has managed to keep the Progressive Liberal Party together from 2021 to now. And this is not an easy thing to do, because you have all these egos, you know, everyone has gotten it. They won their seat on their own, of course. They're elected. We all got there. And, you know, you can't tell me nothing. And you have to manage all of that so that we get to the finish line. I hope it's a year from now, but it ain't my call. You get to the finish line with all of us together as one. Yes. And for him, for example, to manage so far members of parliament who've decided that they will not be running again, you know, that's a feat. Most people kick up a fuss when you broach that subject. But he was able, Vaughn Miller was able to say, I had my time on the stage and I agreed to move on to the next chapter. Life.
So that is Minister of Foreign Affairs, the Honorable Fred Mitchell. Now, he was making comments in regards to the late Vaughn Miller. And he talked about how the Prime Minister, Philip Brave Davis, is able to keep the party together because of egos. They know the only one because the people who really mob and menace And also that, you know, the people really, really mild menace, and that Brave was the opposition leader at the time.
He was the alternative.
So it was the alternative. And because we were very, very mad at menace.
Because of his ego. And because of his attitude, I think, towards the Bahamian people. I think that a lot of times that, you know, a lot of these politicians, when we have elected them into power, they forget that the people is the greatest asset within a nation. The people would determine whether or not they will regain their seat to be in office again for the next time, because we have an election every 5 years. So one must be mindful of that. You know what I'm saying? So the challenges you have when you select these members of parliament is that they're in parliament. And, you know, we can turn persons from once in the ghetto, what we call a pauper, and we make them kings. And you're a king for 5 years. But the truth is, as your kingship rides within that 5 years, only what you do, the people that you make, lives that you make better that surround you, the condition of things when it started to what it is now, and how you've impacted a community that will impact a nation, what makes the difference. Because if you're the leader in that community, one has to stand strong. One must be able to see the people, the small, the great, the strong, and find out where they are and make everybody inclusive in your plannings. You cannot plan without the people. You have the ideas, only you have the solution, but you have people who following you. You're not a prime minister when you become prime minister of a selected party. You are a prime minister of the entire nation. You go and you represent the country on behalf of the people.
That's why I always say, that's how it's supposed to be done. You go in to the election, all right? You have your team. Just say you win and become the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, running with the PLP or FNM. Once that is done, you give up that title being the party leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, or being the party leader of the Free National Movement. You become the leader of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and you have to govern yourself like that. I would say that you start a campaign based on the fact that you make sure how your three generals, your MPs, doing what they're supposed to do, to try each and every way as possible to deal with housing, small business, garbage collection, anything that could help propel ambulance on the family islands, whatever kind of situation that is needed.
Mr. Brown, if you're the prime minister, your team that you've selected and the people that follow them, they will then determine what your legacy would be.
That's right. That's why if you listen to what Fred Mitchell is saying, there was infighting in the party because he is saying it. He's saying, listen closely, he's saying, you keep it together. There was infighting because there are jealous people in there. Because you're the prime minister, deputy prime minister, they're mad at you.
You will always find, I like to tell people, I like when there are objective people in a room, because sometimes objectiveness leads you to a positive result.
I agree.
Okay? So if everybody in the room is saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, everybody is the yes, sir, man, you know, it's hard for you to be able to determine or you to see if you're going contrary, if what you're doing is wrong. You know, you may have a good heart, but let's say, what if the people around you are that the ones that are surrounding you, they are only in it for personal gain?
That's right. And we're talking about.
It's difficult for you to execute
the plan.
Your plan that you've put in motion. Because as far as you're concerned, when you speak, you only speak in the same selected few.
Yes.
You aren't riding around in the vehicle no more or walking on the streets and say, how is things? You're not walking into the shops and ask them, how is business? You're not seeing the mother who's not fed a kid in a day or two. You've not seen the cry of the grandmother who's not longer working, and hopefully that somebody in the community will stop and pass and drop them a bag of grocery.
Yeah.
You know, or you're not seeing people who are dependent so much on these food programs and things throughout the communities and so forth, how far those go. And so you, as a leader, one must be in touch with his people. And I'm just talking about New Providence. You have to be able to be one who is going to be in the ground. And remember, when you were just a young man campaigning or you're going door to door, you remember what it meant and what it felt like to go to these people. Because when you're in leadership, sometimes you could forget what these people are.
You will forget.
You was a king. And so only when now you got to go into there for an election or you're campaigning again, all of a sudden now you go back down to the regular man again. And now you're asking me, What are the plights of the community? What's happening? What's going on? You know what I mean? We have 4 years to do this or 5 years to do this. My thing is that you saying this with a voice of strong will, but it has to follow with an action. And, you know, we must be mindful of the people around you, because the people around you could cause your legacy not to even compare to be nothing.
That's why I say you should be a smart prime minister. When you get in, elected, whether you're the leader and become prime minister, you know what you start to do? If you've been as the prime minister, you govern the country as best as possible. You've got all the permanent secretary from all departments under your wing. You govern. Then you have these things done when you talked about responsibility in each community, providing the necessary equipment for what each particular family island need by the population that is there.
By what's there?
So we don't need to assess.
We know
they need an ambulance.
The light off.
We know they need
the water going on. This problem is
We know they need a new road. So we don't need to assess.
I look at the thing the other day, right? I said, for me, my opinion is, okay, I walk into the office if I was the prime minister tomorrow morning. Mm. God forbid if I was the prime minister. I said, I'm looking in the inner city in those places that you said that are most at risk. Because if I raise the price on what food costs in a grocery shop, does it affect the ones who cannot afford it? Or does it affect the ones who have the money to afford it? I mean, if you raise the price, the people who could afford it, even if they cry, they're going to buy it no matter what.
Because they can afford to buy it.
So the ones who do not have the funds to buy it, then they have to decide, whether I pay a light bill or I buy food for my children.
Bad food or healthy food?
Everything is going to be bad because
the healthy food is very expensive.
So it's difficult when a bag of grocery, I remember going in our inner city, in the grocery store, going to the mom and pop stores. Remember we used to go to Mr. Morris.
Every shop.
We could credit food over to Mr. Morris, and so until your grammy them or your granddad didn't get the money. But I remember the fact that from then, the cost of living to now, what the cost of living is, right? So I'm walking in the grocery shop, and I'm shopping now in one of the regular local stores. And if I spend $260, I might leave out there with one bag of grocery.
Yeah, one bag.
And $260 is basically the minimum wage that we have set in our country for persons to be paid. So one must understand that this is included if you got to put gas, this is included if you got to... And, you know, you look at it in inner cities, like, I think one of the greatest initiatives that took place during that time, I think that when Mr. Minnis was in office, I think he would have granted duty-free for the people
tax-free zone.
Right? And so because what the tax-free zone did is that these are the most affected people. Mm-hmm. And so by doing that, that gave these people an opportunity to still to stand up and
try
to float.
I could go to the lumber store.
Right.
Yes.
So currently now, I think that the members of parliament, they get about $37,000 every 3 months to currently run the communities that they represent.
37?
37,000.
Yeah. Because it's 100.
It's 37,000, 150,000 a year.
150,000 a year.
My point to that is this.
That can't have nobody.
No, I'm going to say.
I just said, that 37,000.
The 37,000 can work if you're in Kalani.
Yeah, in Kalani.
The 37,000 can work if you're in the Yamagro or Twine.
You need 37 million.
What I'm saying to you is that can work if it's there.
Yes.
So as the prime minister, and I'm assessing what my communities need.
Right.
The Bain and the Grandstown and the Camp Roads and the Fox Hills and the Pinewood Gardens, and there's certain sectors we know, the middle sectors of the Providence that are at most at risk.
Yes.
You can look at those things. Yes, we have public works. Yes, we have the Ministry of Works. Yes, we have these other entities, social service and different things that are going to play their role. But we know that there's more help that is needed.
Way more.
Because these are interchanging areas. Mm-hmm. And these are areas that are most affected based on the economic growth of things that are outside and inside that are determining the factors of those persons living. Mm. I would have been giving those members of parliament up front $1 million a year to run those communities.
I said it.
Right?
I said it.
Because when I consider what $1 million is in the community, 4 years we've been in office, right? And you're looking at, let's say, the travel expenses alone. So if the travel expenses exceeds more than $58 million.
$58 million.
Can you imagine what $1 million a year in the inner city would do, properly managed though? Properly managed.
Yes.
Because now you have to have a spending commission.
Yes, and make
so sure. Now with a spending commission, it'll make sure that those things are accounted for what is being spent.
That's why you add local government to
the
it.
The local government is great on the family islands. I wouldn't bring the local governments to New Providence.
Why you wouldn't?
I'm going to tell you why. I wouldn't bring it into New Providence. I'll keep it on the family islands. The difference with the family islands with the local government is I will alleviate the red tape within the family islands because if there's an investor that comes into the island, the people on the island knows what investment should be good for them. Mm-hmm. But rather than it going through Dawson, it has to go through a chain or channel leading from the island, coming back to New Providence and coming back and being knocked down and so many different things. So the projects are never really geared to the people. That's like our, like when we look at the cruise ships now doing in our country. We have now succeeded give them these keys that they're having now under the guise of employment, under the guise of these hundreds of millions of dollars in development.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. But they ain't reaching nobody.
But what is the impact on it to the people?
They're not reaching.
So we see it in Grand Bahama. Hold on, let's look at Grand Bahama.
You have high unemployment, my brother. What you talking about? You have a multi-million dollars investment. In fact.
Or tourism too. Tourism's up to 11 million tourists.
Listen, 11 million tourists, right? Listen to this. High unemployment. How is billions
there's a reason for that.
Millions and millions being made and nothing is trickling down in the city community?
But there's a reason for that. If the cruise port, the Bahamian people had 100% ownership within the cruise port. And then we had to buy into the cruise port and bring the cruise port up, right? And then they started to bring all the authentic things that we said were authentic on the straw market and so forth, and we put them into the port. And then so you realize that the advisories from these cruise liners, that they're telling their people to stay within the mains of the port if they want to be insured and so forth like that. So it makes them now, because these are readers and bloggers, so these people now are listening to what they are adhered to the rules or what they have been emailed and so forth to say what crime looks like and what crime is. And so when you start to detour these people from coming into the inner cities or riding up and spending the money with those people, and then now you're building these like mega like slides and slides no slides and the cruise ports and so forth like that. So that means that you limit now the movement of these people, even now interacting with your people.
You take away everything from the Bahamian people.
But
one, you remember why no employment?
See, with our leadership, one must be able to make your people inclusive of your plans. You must be able to know that this is designed for the Bahamian people. These are industries that are created that only Bahamian people can take advantage of. That one must be able to see that and outline that with information for the Bahamian people. If the Bahamian people do not know what are the things that I'm entitled to as a Bahamian, you can't just say I'm a Bahamian. Right. What am I entitled to?
Yeah, boy, listen. And I can say this again. I didn't finish the comment when I made with the Prime Minister. I get on this with him. Once you get elected, you just do the people's work. Your work's with your MP, each and every one of the constituencies that you give this $1 million to, and they're doing the infrastructure work that is necessary to make sure that the residents who voted and depending on them for better in their community receive that. And once the information is gathered, going into your fourth year, you start campaigning. Ask the PLP leader. Ask the FNM leader.
I don't have to campaign if I do the right thing.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Look at what happened in Barbados.
I just want to finish and understand, the fourth year. See, because we got this knowledge in our head. Every Bahamian say this. The government can do nothing the first and second and third year. They do it on the fourth and fifth year.
I mean, you're saying that's a saying.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but we got to listen.
Every government has done that.
Mr. Brown, the
fourth and fifth year, so look, that's when they started doing real things.
Look at it, Mr. Brown. The Chinese are coming into the Bahamas with a 50-year plan.
Yeah. Not a 50-year plan.
No, 50-year plan.
The Chinese had a 1,000-year plan. What you talking about?
They're coming into these countries.
They had a 1,000-year. No, see, all that's about that. You said a 50-year plan, but they had a 1,000-year plan. That been going down for centuries.
No, I'm saying when they come into your country.
That was planned a 1,000 years.
They come into our country, they have a 50-year plan for the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. The Jamaicans have a plan for the Bahamas. The Haitians have a plan for the Bahamas. The Mexicans, everybody have a plan for the Bahamas,
and
right?
The Europeans get a plan forever.
We as the Bahamian people can't just have a 5-year plan.
No.
We have to have a comprehensive plan.
Like Singapore.
We must have a comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. We have to have solutions to our problems. Mm-hmm. We have to find the Bahamians that are not just local, but we also have Bahamians internationally doing extraordinary things.
What you mean?
We must include them also with the rebuilding or the rebranding of the country. Mm-hmm. We've been leaving these people out. We have sent our kids off to school, and the parents are
leaving
them
out. It's the government, but the powers to be leaving because they're underpaid. You don't want your children. You don't want a person to go to the States, right? They get all these degrees, to come back to Nassau, to make $60,000, ran the same job over there. I got Chris Brown on this show.
The government is employed by who?
The
government is employed by who?
The King of England.
No, I'm saying the government. For them to become the government, one must be able to, in the election process, must take place. The Bahamian people must come out unanimously and say, this is who we want, Tom or Harry. This is what we want.
But the criteria must be lifted. The government, we get confused with parties, the PLP and FNM. That's only one government, When I always tell people this, there's only one government. We get parties mixed up. This is where the confusion coming in. The King of England, right? Mm-hmm. Listen. When the Prime Minister's in.
It's allegiance.
You hear who swear to?
to his heirs and his successors.
To who?
His heirs and his successors.
Okay.
But right. we've been self-governed.
Right.
And so we're looking into the Caribbean, right, into our brothers and our sisters and how they operate as leaders in their country. If you look at in Barbados with Mia Motley, you're seeing she won in the electoral process. She's won unanimously.
Yeah.
I'm talking about where there was no opposition.
Yeah. Because
this is what good leadership does.
That's right.
And so what I'm saying to you is that the Bahamian people want a government that is going to deliver. We're saying who is going to deliver.
Yes.
So if you're gonna be the Joshua generation and we're asking you the question, can you deliver?
Mm.
You can't continuously say to me on a big platform, these are things that I'm going to do for the Bahamian people.
Mm.
See, the days of my great-grandmother and grandmother and those are past.
Mm.
I mean, God forbid, they're gone on. And so the younger generation from 50 down, we are now social media driven, and we're now open to the world. So you can't say to me that this is not possible when I know it's possible based on what I see, what I read, what I can confirm.
And I didn't get the... I'll finish, you know, because, you know, I like how you're making some good points. I'll call the company right now. And we was talking about the prime minister and how he gave his allegiance to the King of England. And I was thinking just now, and I said to myself, that's crazy, you know, because when you really look at it right, we still don't really understand the understanding about governance.
The gray area.
We still don't understand.
There's a gray area.
You know, because the swearing in to the king, but yet still be him, and still today would say the king or the queen or the crown will have no power over us.
Definitely, because it's called crown land for a reason.
Right.
So you realize that, you know, what deal was structured many years ago from 1973, we would have seen a government went to speak on regards to self-governance rather than full independence. If it was independent, we would have been a republic. The Bahamas is not a republic. It is an independent body, but it has a hierarchy. The hierarchy is now a king rather than the queen.
Yes, and then my thing, we understand PLP and FNM or the DNA, but, or what the next one named, Coalition of Independence.
Right.
You know, when the prime minister, former prime minister, get paid from the government of the Bahamas, from the PLP, who was the leader of the PLP, but became the prime minister of the country, you know what his checks say? It will say, to former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Hubert Alexander Ingram, leader of the Free National Movement, this is $150,000 a year. It don't say that. It don't say the same thing to Perry. You know what it says? It says, to the former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Government of the Bahamas. It doesn't say PLP or FNM. They don't recognize PLP. They only recognize government.
That's the only thing that's really recognized when you're in power.
Government. Government.
You know, there are things that are called practices. And in the Bahamas, we've been practicing a lot of things because based on traditional things that we have seen going on prior from us coming in. And this is where I lead back into my grandmother's time. Mm-hmm. And so my grandmother's time, they grew up in a time where during the UBP and the time when Bahamians weren't able to go into the basic things like the movie theaters, the same place where we share with a white person since
the company right now, as soon as he finished.
And stuff like that, right? And so we've moved on far from that. And they were in that time. So that's the reason why they were so passionate about particular parties and so forth. But the younger generation, this younger Z's and genres and so forth, they don't know that. They don't know about that. What they do know is if you ain't doing nothing for Grammy, then you ain't doing nothing for me. And so if you say you can do something, I'm looking for you to do that. Because if you don't provide what you say you can do for me, I ain't going to say nothing to you. I just going to show you just what I think about you.
Yeah. When we come back after you take this call, we'd be looking into some models concerning some housing developments inside the inner city community that I think is a plus. But there needs to be some momentum there because we need to understand on the prices, who is going to get it, how could you put a sign on a fence in your yard. I know that's a law that the government has. And this is a reaction to the development that is happening in the city community with vacant lots. But there's a lot of people in the community who would like some more information, especially, like you say, you know, if I have a property and it's fencing, how can the government come and put a fence put a sign up on it saying.
A notice.
And it's a, they're not taking the property. It's an acquisition.
That they put a notice for they want interest. To acquire it.
They have interest in it. So it's not stealing the property. When you have 30 days to inquire on it, it means you could go by the Honorable Keith Bell and check up if you have interest in the property. If you have interest in the property, or if you own the property, or you have some stake in the property, when they put up the sign, and I think it's for development, but there's a lot of question needs to be asked, especially how much would it cost to build a low-cost home in this in the city community? Is it going to cost anywhere over $40,000 or $50,000? Is it going to be rent to own? Who is going to be allowed to get these homes?
Access to that.
Access to these homes. Are these going to be party members? Are these going to be people out the area or in the area? Or are these going to be people picked random, or people who have disabilities, or people who are single-parent homes? We'd like to know, because we'd like to know more. We'd like to know more about it, and why are they putting signs on yards that are fenced up? I know that many of the yards that are fenced up are not taken care of with hoses and stuff, so that could be one of the reasons. Or the government is trying to redevelop the community at the same time, which is a plus. I'd also like to say this. There's a lot of hoses have been in this community for like 50, 60 years, and have never been touched by owners whatsoever to even do anything with the community that's been a hazard to the community. So it could be a plus or a takeaway, how you put it.
Because there are some elements one must be even consider that too. Because you have to remember, if some of those buildings are historical.
Right, yes.
Like, so, I think you know Martin Luther King building with you were a part of.
Yeah, that's what they got to bear in mind. So we're going to take this call, and then we're going to talk about the Honorable Keith Bell and the initiative they have with what they have going on in the inner city community, looking at vacant lots and looking ways to build low-cost homes. But they're also saying they're putting up a sign, a 30-day sign. They're putting up to say acquisition. That means they're not taking it. They're interested in it. I know the word. I know the word. See, before I talk, I know the word. See, a lot of people jump to talk. Acquisition means they're interested. But you could counteract that by just going in and 30-day advance and go see the minister. But there's a lot of questions that need to be asked. We're going to take this call, and then we're going to come back to this conversation. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Is this Mr. Brown?
Yes, this is Mr. Brown.
Good show. Who's your guest now?
This is Mr. Google. I call him Google, but he's going to give you his real name.
Ian Munnings.
Yes.
Mr. Munnings?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're intelligent, Mr. Munnings, but you I don't think you fully understand the intricacies of local government. Local government on the island is not fully implemented. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, I am aware, sir.
But local government, if it's implemented fully on the Family Island, will transform all those settlements and communities throughout the island. All government should take their hands off local government and let people handle their own affairs, because they know what goes on in their community and know what needs to be done. Now, you said that that local government should not be implemented in New Providence. Local government is more needed in New Providence than in the Family Island. I don't know if you look around, everywhere you walk, everywhere you ride, everywhere you drive, that this place is filthy, nasty. If local government takes over the city and the communities in the and in New Providence, all the garbage and the other stuff that happens in these various communities, if they're segmented to local government, you wouldn't see that. The government and the politicians don't really have the time to do that, because they're busy doing other things.
Yes.
When the responsibility goes to these local people, they would take interest in their own community. That's what good local government does. Okay? Mm-hmm. Politicians don't have time for all this. People need to claim their own empowerment. Okay? Bahamians need to use the phrase we used to use many years ago. Cleanliness is next to godliness. We want government to do everything. Okay? So let be it known that local government is a must for New Providence. Okay?
Thank you very much, sir. You could comment. Okay.
Thank you, caller. I would say this in regards to what you have said. I believe local government can work, but I said it's my opinion, though. I think that local government would be more effective on the family islands, giving them the full atonement to do what is needed for their particular island that they live in. New Providence is kind of different because it has more components in New Providence that they do on the family island. The resources are even different that are here in New Providence. I think New Providence problem is a matter of persons following up in regards of the people that are supposed to do their job. If the manager is supposed to ensure that the supervisor do his job and the supervisor is supposed to put his subordinates to do their job, and it's a matter of them following through and everybody doing what they're needed to do. Because there are some cases we can see, you said in regards of how the island looks, there are departments here currently that are supposed to operate and deal with the manner of how you're looking at things. Persons should be responsible enough to deal with the areas that they occupy. If that's your property, one must be able. These are things that are already ahead too. These are in the restricted laws in regards to housing
that is,
and
that
so
is,
forth.
That is
right?
law. That's people that's understand law, right? If you have a lot
that's
of cars in your
all
lot,
that, that's law.
That's why the government can
and
do
so
these things. Is a,
these,
I know.
So these are things that are there. But the thing is, like most components that are here, the system is here. But the people are not following up to do what is needed to do. We have the various departments that are doing that. We have, I think that beaches and parks are responsible for the side roads and the beaches and the parks and so forth. So then my question will be, I'll have to ask to say, why isn't that being done the way it needs to be done? And then we go into environmental health and say, why isn't this being done? Because these are people employed under the taxpayers' dollars. And so I'm looking for the results. And if I don't see the results, then heads must roll. Yeah. But this is our biggest problem. Nobody yeah. wants to follow up on the people.
Yeah, I know. I personally work with the IDB Bank and the Bahamas government on recommendation on local government in Nassau, New Providence. We did survey with the with Dwight Scrunt, who is the manager here at Guardian Radio. And we sit down with Renard Enfield. But before Renard Enfield, I was already sitting down. And the word local government came up in the meeting is when I sit down with the IDB. Now, IDB is the number one bank that supports government and all programs in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I was invited because I was in the city, and I was recommended to them that I'd have some information about the inner city community. I sat down with them for about 3 months straight. They brought all the team from the Office of the Prime Minister, okay? They brought students from the University of the Bahamas. We sit down and put a whole plan together to introduce a complex plan with students, Dwight Scrawn, and many others to come up with a comprehensive plan to see how we can make local government be reintroduced here in the inner city community. We did it under the Minister Administration, where I was a non-paid private consultant. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talked about, what the gentleman talked about, the maintenance. Local government in Nassau was supposed to deal with issues that the politicians don't have the time. They're too busy. Local government is going to be a representation of local people who do community work in the community, who would be elected based on their work, by their works in the community, mm-hmm. who are not a PLP or FNM. They could be PLP or FNM, it doesn't matter. Once they know that everyone who lives in the community has to be treated equally and fairly. Mm-hmm. It's gonna deal with the roads, garbage collection, to make sure that the hose is run down, make sure that there are no derelict vehicles in the yard, that the hoses would be maintained on a regular basis. So we have persons walking around, working with local government, different agencies. Like you say, you were similar, that would identify dialect vehicle, a host that should not be in the community, serving no purpose with no one living in it, but a young girl has got raped in it.
It's an abandoned home.
Right. Garbage mm-hmm. is being dumped from neighbors over
within
and
that
over.
Property.
So every time government spends to clean up the community, it does not work because the yards that are there are abandoned serves as a...
My opinion is that...
I'm not saying... But
I know. My opinion is that...
No, we're not going to think I'm saying. The whole idea about it was to take the pressure off the government officials because the empty think, when you talk about the $1 million.
Yes.
Do you think being a grandstand deserve one MP? Let me ask you. Do you think Angleton deserve one MP?
I think we must first ask ourselves statistically how many people live.
50,000 in each one of these areas.
We'll ask the question: how many people live? First of all, in each of those sectors.
Right.
Right. And then once I get a count of, because I don't want to just talk off the top of my head, mm-hmm. right? Because I know some areas has about 5,000 or 6,000 voters mm-hmm. based on the voters registry and so forth. So
that's who register on the voters, but that's not the kids. That's not the old people. So, and those are the people who even gone to get registered to vote.
So I'm saying to you, we have persons that do surveys to detect how many yes. people that are living there, or how many people live in New Providence right. alone. Once I sector those things up, and I can say to you, I have 50,000 living in Peter mm-hmm. Grandstand, and then I'd say to you, I have 50,000 people. We know that 50,000 for one particular person to manage is kind of difficult, mm-hmm. right? And so it may mm-hmm. need to do 25,000.
Bet $150,000
a year. That's a year.
So how?
I said that's a year.
I'm just saying. Bet. I ain't cutting you off. I just trying to explain something to you. Mm-hmm. $150,000. What the hell $150,000 could do? That only for two families in the community, my brother.
With the cost of living going up.
That's only for two families in the community.
This is what I'm saying. You
know. I'm not against you.
No, I know.
I'm just telling you that $150,000 that the ministry received.
The Ministry of Works is supposed to deal with the maintenance of the roads.
That is not happening.
No, this is where
that's why local government comes in right now.
No, but this is where even if
that's local, where local government
but
comes
even
in
if
right
local
now.
Government comes in,
we can identify it.
My question to you is this: if local government comes into place, who's still in charge to issue out these particular contracts or issue out even or to manage the funding that is going to be passed through cabinet or passed through finance?
Well, if you look at the program we did mm-hmm. in each community, we're gonna have certain community leaders who apply to be a district community leader in each community, who would have a team of people in each part of the community to take the pressure off them.
Who is the funding going to be filtered through? That's what I'm asking.
The funding chairman.
So the chairman.
Yes.
So the chairman will set up a separate account or a government account.
No, this is for local government. This is
we say for local government. They have a council account.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So my point to you is this. New Providence is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most populated area. It has all of the components, what makes it the capital.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking to deflate a lot of the impact of the people that are coming now, out of school, coming mm-hmm. up from the family islands, et cetera, right? Our problems can be solved basically when people now know that they can go to an island that offers some of the same kind of amenities mm-hmm. or even better, tranquil kind of day-to-day
move.
So if we have those on the family islands, and if I'm from there and I have something going on, I can be employed there, I can do what I can do, I can be an entrepreneur mm-hmm. there, the opportunities must be
yes.
the same way.
Yes.
One must be able to say to me, information-wise, mm-hmm. this is the things that a government is affording for you.
Yes.
We are going in this direction. So you need to be educated in this particular
yes.
field.
Yes.
We have not have a comprehensive plan and say, structurally, this is the things that we're doing. We're seeing people go to the colleges now and they're still doing the same thing. Oh, human resources, we're going to do accountants, we're going to do... We have seen so many of them. So we got maybe, let's say, every year, 1,000 of them coming to go to school. But where they're going to work?
1,000.
We're just giving a number, right?
5,000.
So when I look downtown Bay Street, and I'm looking at all of the jewelry stores that the Greeks and those persons yeah. own here in New Providence, yeah. right? In the city of Nassau. So we're looking at those persons who are brought into the country that do gemology. That's the ones mm-hmm. who determine the difference between the rubies, the gems, and all of those things, right? And most of them are Indians that are in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been here for more than 10 and 15, 20 years, right?
Longer than that.
I'm just saying, they've been here more than that,
50 years.
They've been here more than 20 years. How many people have they trained? How many Bahamians do that work? Who can be employed? Because, hey, Tom, I have to go now because John can do that. He's a Bahamian. Look at Grand Bahama, one of the largest container ports in the region, if not the second largest in the region next to the Panamanian canals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billions of dollars are trying to channel through that to that corporation, the boat fixing yard mm-hmm. that they have there. And then you're looking at the employment of the Bahamians mm-hmm. in there, and you say they're either the security guards or the forklift drivers. How many Bahamians that we have that have been trained to be an underwater welder, you know what I mean? A fabricator, all of these kind of things. A government must be able to say these are the directions we want our people to start to go into.
That's true. But see, like I say, we're dependent too much on government. Again, that's where local government comes in. See, they has the power. See, again,
who's the leader of the country?
Listen, the government. Listen,
who's the leader of the country?
Listen, you think Donald Trump is the leader of America?
Well, he makes
you. Hold on, you believe. Hold on, listen to me.
It's not what I believe.
It's
a matter of what's being implemented and who's saying it.
I agree. Listen to me. I sit down with prime ministers and I don't know what they finger. Why is me and the prime minister sit down? They call them like this. Like this, my brother. Huh? Sitting down to a table. So don't
Mr. Brown.
I know.
When I watch the press and I see Mr. Trump, and he is dictating America first.
Yeah.
And you see him sign on these deals and so forth, right? You hear the voice of the president of America. He's definitively saying.
That's whatever it looks like. Let me ask you a question.
He goes on a plane and he goes to...
Let me ask you a question.
Wherever he goes.
Let me ask you a question. When the Bahamian people gone to the polls, right?
Yes, sir.
You remember when...
Don't say the referendum.
No, not the referendum. Okay. When Perry Christie lost the election to Ingram.
Right.
And you remember he gone and he hold the prime minister's seat for 2 or 3 days. Remember? He hold it for the longest. They didn't turn right over. Who was running the country?
Well, when there is no government, you ask the question.
Go ahead.
When there is no government, the officio
for
is,
one day.
When there,
or
if,
a
there,
hours.
If there is no government,
uh-huh.
Once an election is called,
uh-huh.
The officio takes the place.
Who's the officio?
The commissioner of police.
All right.
And who's it? And who's, whoever it may be at
and
the time.
And who's over the commissioner of
I'm
police?
I'm saying to you is.
I'm just saying.
It's whoever at the time.
And
once that seat is given up.
All right.
And the bell is rung.
Uh-huh.
There is no. You're no longer the minister of this. No.
I know.
You're no longer the member. See, you.
I know.
Every man has to fight for his seat
I know.
At that point. The commissioner of police take charge of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's like martial law. They in charge of the country. Mm-hmm. The commissioner of police says whatever, and this is what happened. And she must follow he must follow the guidelines of what is said already.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the commissioner in your question that you asked, the commissioner of police at that time would mm-hmm. be the supreme law.
And who he represent the commissioner of police?
Well, he has to represent that particular department.
The governor general.
No, he has the
he's
commissioner.
A civil servant.
The commissioner.
And he's
police,
a civil servant.
In the,
you know that's two branches of government.
But
you ask a question.
In the capacity of commissioner.
You're right.
Right?
Mm.
One of the duties is supposed to be separate and apart.
Right.
Okay? It's similar to the judiciary. Mm. The judiciary is supposed to be separate and apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so the commissioner of police at the time will become the leader or the person who will be in charge
mm-hmm.
until there is an appointment of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple hours,
the commissioner of police is the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
We wouldn't say the prime. We wouldn't call him or her the prime minister.
So,
but we'll call him the authority.
See what I
know. They would be the authority.
See what I know, right? With leaders, and I have personal experience with leaders from Sir Lyndon to Perry Christie, and even
you're a farm road boy, man.
Right?
You know, but
all so I had these personal, and sitting down with them, I get to learn a lot. There are people in this country who they and all is dictated to. You don't believe me? I see this with my own eyes. That's why I tell you. Now, yes, they have the authority, but even
there's a running of a country, and then there's a running of a country.
Yes, because
a country doesn't run on conversation. A country runs on finances.
Right,
okay.
But anyway.
And so, if these things need to be heard to and done, there are some powers or some people that are in position. We call them the oligarchs and so forth.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
They've been entrenched in major industries and major things within our country.
Yes.
The daily fabric of our moving about, they determine because they have the power, because they own the entities that is needed to run the country itself.
Because you know, we have a bag man over here. There's a bag man over here for the PSB and the FNM.
There may be a bag man
everywhere.
There may be a bag man in any country you go to.
I know these things.
I can't speak to something that I don't know about.
I just said, I get the bag of these things.
Mr. Brown, I've never seen the bag personally, so I can't speak on the issue.
But you hear it a little bit, right?
I don't really go on what I hear. I like to go on what I
hear. They don't care who, when they support the FNM, they support the PLP.
Mr.
Their
Brown,
job is,
if I have never experienced the bag itself, to see it,
I
can count it and know that it's in there, I cannot speak on issues I have no idea about.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So it's just like a fairy tale. So you tell me some money in the bag, I don't know.
Okay.
I have to see it to believe
but
it.
But our fairy tales we tell in the Bahamas is be true and reality.
You're saying ghetto conversation.
It comes true because we had a lot of suspicion what was going on in the police force and what going on in politics and what going on in the church. And all come to fruition, we come up to 100%.
They said two places already knows what happened in the country. They said the two places that knows what happened in the country on site is the ghetto and the prison.
All right. Let me get this next part of the show because I know Elroy don't want to hear about this. I'm a guy who bring a lot of ideas to the table. And one of the ideas I talk about, I look at the weakness of the area. I've been living in the community from when I was a little boy. And I've seen it going from good to bad. Being there from good to bad. I've lived in the area for 51 years in Grandstand. The Grandstand, I know which had a Francis Hotel. We had Eagle's Nest. We had a lot of A, B, and B in our community.
The Foyset.
The Foyset. We had black tourists from America, white tourists from America, and Chinese in our community on a regular basis. I never had a need for nothing because all I had to do was carry them to the local food store in our community. And when they were leaving, we had the latest technology. We had the latest TV, the latest Atari, or whatever come out.
Whatever apparatus.
Diana Francis, Willa Francis, the Francis them, they were my neighbors. All right? And we never used to, Bahamian people never used to pick up money. All right? Money used to be littered on Lewis Street. Littered on the side of the streets. Used to be littered in our inner city community that I reside in. I watch it gone from that, from being a rich community.
Poverish.
To a poverish community. And I've seen the weakness. And I've seen the strengths. I've analyzed the community and neighboring community because we from there. So we know what strategy is needed. So I looked at the community and said, what do we need? We need to develop the community. These abandoned houses need to get fixed. Reason why? I've stopped young girls from getting raped in the Coakley building. That is now the Urban Renewal Center. When it got run down and was left after the family move out. And since the community was an impoverished community, it run down and there was a drug addict community. And we stopped up. 7 and 9, 10-year-old from getting raped from a gentleman who was known to the community and tried to put a little boy inside the Coakley building.
Wow.
And I was across the road from my grandmother.
Wow.
Down the road to the Johnson building that we got refurnished and I got a tour on. Some of my partners from, Jeff Mitchell, he was working to a landscaping company over Life at Key. And he would drive his tractor down to push down his house. In this house, a little girl got raped. It was on the nose. And the young guys in the area, like Bones and Puff, them come to the young girl aid. Mm-hmm. And they end up breaking the guy two leg. Mm-hmm. And it's 2-1. This was the abandoned houses.
So unfortunate.
Right. Now, the family who owned these houses, like I said, they moved out, sold the property, and left it in the community, right? Unattended for many, many years. But look what they said happened to these buildings. A lot of yards run down with a lot of cars. Individuals who owned the yard, they never came back and did nothing with the yard for about 40 years, but leave it there. And every time you clean up, the government spends money to clean up in the community. When you look right back again, rot infested. Garbage infected.
There are some things one have to consider based on what you're saying.
Yeah, I just want to. Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to the urban renewal thing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's we'll get into that.
Yeah, this one, that's why I can let you finish it. We can finish it because we have 30 more minutes. That's why I can let you come in. The producer said we have to take a break on Guardian Radio 96.9, and we'll be right back after the break.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, grieve me.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So no nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Bigger, longer, wider. Saturdays are getting supersized on Guardian Radio, following the always heavy hitting The Eye Opener at 9 a.m. Stay tuned for the full size, The Accredited from 10th year seniors at 11 a.m. Now for a full 2 hours. Then Tell It to Stanya at 1 p.m. is now even longer at 90 minutes. The big, all-new season of Our Blue Bahamas from Breathe is now at 2:30 p.m. And the happy hour with DeAndra Cartwright is smiling wide at its new time, 3 p.m. It's the new big Guardian Radio Saturdays on 96.9 FM or GuardianTalkRadio.com.
Oh, yeah.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up
Baton. All right, we're back on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And like I said, you know, I said those things because I live in the community and my concern was always the community. I've been cleaning in the community for over 20 years. 20 years I've been cleaning in the community. Over and over. 20 years of my own money. And still cleaning up the day. All right? So all the moses and stuff you see today, I've been cleaning up. But like I said, some of the yards have fence on it. The government needs to explain to the general public and exactly what their intentions are. Concerning, because when I listen, let me read it. Let me read it for you. They can't even see too good. I need glasses. And anyway, Google, you ain't pick it up? You didn't get it?
No, I didn't get it.
Oh, Lord. Google, you wasting me,
from
man.
From the CFO?
See if you can get it big, and then you can read it tomorrow.
Well, you got it fine as ever.
Yeah, I take it, man. You can't see it. You can't see that. This is a citation from the Ministry of Environment.
That's under urban housing or
Ministry
urban
of housing.
That's housing.
Yeah, it's a good initiative, but still, you know, there are people who are up their yard fences. They're taking well kept. So
if my yard is fenced in,
yeah, once it's well kept and fenced,
if my yard is fenced in,
yes, no.
I can find it very hard.
Yes.
For a department.
Yes.
To put a notice.
Right.
Of acquisition or even to acquire.
Yes.
A piece of property that's already been fenced in and it has an owner.
Yes.
And I need to go to the ministry to have a conversation on whether or not I own the property or how I get the property, if the property is already fenced in, and so forth. I mean, it clearly has an owner if it's fenced in.
Fencing means it's taking care of people who
somebody's taking care of it or something like that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
so it's fenced in.
Yes.
And so somebody's
that's why it's fencing. No cars or nothing.
Right. So yes. It's kind of different when you have an apartment or complex or a building that nobody is living in. And you realize that it becomes now an environmental problem, or it comes into a national security
that's
issue.
That's where the effect
that's
comes
kinda
in.
That's kind of different.
Yes, that's
you know what I mean?
Different.
Because you talked about the issue with the young, young lady or the young man were raped or apparently
that's
attempted
why I did.
Rape,
that's what
right?
I did. What I did.
So those particular buildings that are open, I mean, some questions could come in and they become hazardous and so forth. I can understand the government assessing those and doing that, but not going into every property that they deem that either that there is no structure on it, but it's fenced in, but you can put it on that. Yeah. And then the ones that do have a structure but have a presence, like I said, yes. You, I think they would have put that on the same building with Martin Luther King.
Yes.
That's an historical building.
Yes.
So if you're putting in that for breaking down, I don't think you can break down a historical building. That's my point. And so, you know, how do you go about to acquire these people's property? And then the question is the people in the inner city want to ask, provide us with the necessary information.
Yes.
You know, you just can't send people in there to say doing something.
We're going to Lewis Creek.
Right. You just can't just
do some assessments, some properties we feel we like.
Because there's
owners.
Some buildings downtown and some other places. Yes. I can say that you can start off with doing that if that's the case.
Yes.
But the thing about it is that the law permits which means thou could acquire a piece of property.
Yes.
It tells you the domain or how long you've been living or operating or cultivating that particular property and the channels that one must go through. But the problem is that nobody wants to give proper information. Mm-hmm. And so everybody feels, especially in the ghetto, they feel like they're being left out and they feel as though, who do they turn to? And that is their major plight because ghetto people in regards to what they call ghetto or people that are under the watermark in regards to finances, they have an issue. Who can they turn to? And when everything around them results in having finance or having money.
Yes. And they might want to do some of their property.
To get a lawyer is $500 for consultation.
Yes.
That's not even saying if he's going to take on the case because I don't know any lawyers in the Bahamas that take pro bono cases.
Well, we have Tingham, the public defender stand.
Yes, but you have to remember with the clinic. That goes to...
Are you trying to sell company?
That's the clinic. That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other aid. Yeah.
But they do a public defender.
So what they do, I think I saw a way they were going throughout communities,
yes.
And any questions you would have regarding the law,
that'd be good.
That they would provide the information which is needed.
Yes.
But I'm saying to you, there are cases where people that parents, grandparents own these properties, and they are passed on. They own these properties, but you know back then they had how things were done, basically recording and so forth. And so either they have problems with title, even though their parents own it, because everything then wasn't really registered per se. Now that you inherit this land or this property, then you haven't gone through the process of probating those properties. And so without a proper probate, then we can't really say
you
to
can't
you.
Read it.
No, it's fine. It's too fine. Without proper probating that, we can't say what all your great-granddaddy or granddaddy that personally own. And so with that being said, then you have the sharks that are going to come in, and they know that, and they call it your ignorance.
That's what we said.
Your ignorance. And so who to fight for you now? Because we have seen instances, I'm not going to call the people name, but we have seen instances in our country where developers have gone into these communities where they know people had already purchased sometime,
like
even
going
through, through the banks and so forth, and even doing title search and so forth, and had these properties for the last 15 and 20 years. And then we've seen these project managers or these
property
developers.
$200,000, what's supposed to be crown land?
Hold on. Right, I said, hold on, we
properties getting there. What's supposed to be for crown land? People being paying for mortgage for 30 years, costing like close to what? $150,000 to $160,000.
We can get to the housing. Let's stick to the script right here, now. But what we are saying to you is that we have seen developers and so forth regards to acquiring these people land on top of them.
Party involved with and
acquiring these properties, acquiring these properties on top of these individuals. Because what happens is these big companies or conglomerates, what they do is they run you to court. So if you're poor and you don't have any money and you don't have anybody to turn to, how do you fight a battle of such when they could run you to the court for the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And then so you end up dying. So this matter, yes, is still an open matter. So if there's nobody to fight for you and you don't have the financial means to do so, what happens? The people just take your property? And so there are some of the reasons the ghetto people are asking the question.
Some question needs to be asked.
If you're coming into the community is to do what you call urban renewal, I think that the whole department should turn into urban regentrification.
Yes.
Because if we're going to regentrify these areas, that has to be a town hall meeting and a conversation. One will be able to give the necessary information to those people that are that is going to be impacted or affected, and say to them, this is what we are doing. This is what we intend to do. If you currently live on a piece of property or own a piece of property and you may not have the finances to do so, this is what government position
that's
will
right.
be. We are interested in purchasing it from you so you can come in and we can talk to you about it and give you fair market value for it if you're interested
right
in selling it. Or if you're interested in the government partnering with you because you already own the land and we'll build the complex and we'll share the profits. I mean, these are all conversations that should be had if we intend to do that. But you just cannot take action without information because we're in an age where everything now is vital to you and to the process of the Bahamian people if we know But if I do not know, then how can you go and do that? You cannot come under the guise of a department or as a minister or a representative for a community and say, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work.
One must be able to say to them, this is the reason we're coming, and you have to have that conversation with all of the residents.
Yes, I agree. I want to read. Elroy just sent it to me just now, and this is what they're putting up. Like I say, I'm all for progress, but at the same time, it has to be done in the right way. You understand? I know what the community needs. You see, like how you said all that, that's just how we can go about it. But again, there are some lousy people in this country, my brother, who own property, and they're doing squat crap with it.
But even them should be held accountable because everybody have to be held accountable for their actions.
They have to be held accountable because you can't be leaving all those cars and all the garbage in the yard and expect to be sitting around the community. We said we want a better community. That's an eyesore for the community. So do something with your property in the community.
I've
been spending my own poison and money what I get from my private people cleaning up the community over and over. You know why? Because that's my passion.
You know, you said
that's
the greatest...
That's my passion.
You said the greatest...
Because I want improvement in the community.
You said one of the greatest things. People focus a lot of times on the problems. But I think that as a nation, we must focus on the solutions to these problems, right? If we know that in these urban areas, people are parking dump trucks. They're parking waste trucks, sewer trucks, right? They're parking heavy equipment. They're parking even our young men who are gifted. I call them gifted. Is the direction in which we're channeling them in. So we have those our mechanics, let's just say. Their trade is mechanic, what you call bush mechanic, right? Put these people in a suitable area that we call an industrial area.
Yes.
That no heavy equipment, no pump truck, no this, no that. If everybody must go get a business license, you are registered. There is an institution that is already responsible to deal with the leasing of land and so forth in our country. We must be able to start thinking progressively, and we must think forward thinking. And so if our young men who are bush mechanics go and take a 4-week course to the Department of BTVI, and after you finish or complete your thing with your certification, we have an
outline.
We have an area designated to give you your little start, your little shop, and you can take it from there. But there is no longer, you in the city of New Providence, that is, you can no longer operate these bush mechanic things on the side of people's properties where they're pumping thousands of dollars to keep the grass cut and the whole pink. I'm just saying. Your dump but truck anyway, and a nanny truck can't be inside of the manos and even put $200,000 in
it. See, and that's all I for, you know. And like I said, they should give information out, have the meetings, announcing on the radio, this is where we're going to be. Tell the owners and stuff like that, or people who are interested, who squat on the land, because some people who squat on the land been cleaning up for years. The
50 years.
Some owners ain't never been in these. But I know what's going on around the corner.
They passed the 50.
Some of the owners never been in these areas to do nothing with their property.
They passed the 12 and a half years requirement time.
But if we could take it and work with the poisons, whoever was in charge, you know, like the fence in the yard, we're going to have to leave those alone. As long as there's no abandoned cars. Like you said, they might be poor as well and might be looking for an opportunity. That'd be the same time the government could come and then say, hey, what, this is your property or you have some, we could help you build a low-cost home for yourself. You understand?
Anything.
Rent one. On your
own property. These are all options.
You can work with government. These are all our options we got to put out there. So
but you must provide the information.
You must provide the information. And, you know, and the minister needs to be addressing it. And we need to see how much the low-cost homes would cost.
People in the inner city.
Yeah, $20,000 or $25,000, I think it'd be appropriate. Not no $70,000, $80,000, because they're never going to be.
I haven't seen a $70,000 local home for a long time.
So let me just read this what Elroy said. He said that all poisons, all that certain lot, parcel of land containing by a measurement 6,550 square feet, or therefore be being lot number 33 and block 199 on a plan named being a grandstand logged in Department of Housing, New Providence in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas of being a grandstand abiding and bounding towards the north by public school known as Lewis Creek towards the East Creek by public road known as Maycock Lane towards the south by Lot 34 towards the west by lot number 40 or whoever else the CMA abut and bond which said lot piece or parcel of land is more particularly designated and shown colored print on the plan of the area. Let me see what you say now. It says, yeah, all that's, hold on, I ain't the right one on read, man.
How many those things were put placed through that corner? That's a question I have for you, Scotch.
Let me see. There are about 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5.
To one corner. So are they anywhere else, or the only ones in that particular area?
From Courtney Elroy, he said there were some in Danton.
So they went throughout, they're going throughout the community, the ghetto communities.
Yeah, so let me see. All right. This is all right. The Ministry of Housing and Urban Renewal, Commonwealth of the Bahamas, New Providence, the Acquisition of Land Act, Chapter 252, just to unlock the talk, that declaration of an intended acquisition. It appears to me that the Prime Minister, the Minister, the Governor of the Bahamas, Commonwealth of the Bahamas, responsible for the acquisition and disposition of lands that the lands described in the schedules annex are needed for a public purpose. For notice is hereby given by the promoter, the minister responsible for
housing,
that he said lands are required for a public purpose, namely for housing and persons of low or middle income, and that the side promoter intends to acquire the land, the side land, for the side public purpose. All persons interested in the side land shall, within 30 days of the publication of this declaration, the posting of the same, state in writing to the promoter, the minister responsible for housing, University Drive, the Bahamas, the nature of their claims to compensate for such interest, and the document support those interests. All right?
So what they're asking in a nutshell, based on what you said, the Prime Minister is responsible for Crown Land. The Prime Minister is the head of the Crown Land. Yeah. The Minister responsible for housing is carrying out through Urban Renewal, which is another department within the government, right? And they're carrying out an exercise in regards to these particular properties that they're deeming or they're looking at or interested into building. And they're saying to you is that if you own those particular land, that they have placed those flyers or those notices, I call them notices, they place those notices on, they're asking the owners or the persons thereof have some interest in it to bring your documents or your documentation to them, and then and where they could then reach a agreement in regards to either A, purchasing it from you, or some kind of how, taking it within eminent domain, some kind of thing. But they are saying to you, you must come to them then. So my question to you is this. This exercise being done is being said over the radio before or over the television, but there has been no real consultation towards this particular thing happening. So I think that what should have taken place in those areas that they are placing those things up, a town hall meeting should have been called by the minister responsible for housing and urban renewal. And then he should have then had his team along with him to be able to inform the Bahamian people what's going on in those inner cities. Because again, there are a lot of times that the people in the inner city feels as though they are left out of the process and they're left out of the conversation or the way forward. And you're going to always get a kickback with them if you're trying to take and take and take, if they believe you're taking something away from them. I think the proper thing should do is that thou should have a town hall meeting, and you should disseminate that information to the Bahamian people.
Yeah. That's a mouthful. But what I like to say is that, persons, go and check in your property, clean it up, and if you want to probably do something good with it, you might want to build it for your family. Or someone, your brother or sister or cousin, you know, don't just leave it there, you know what I mean? And I think that the government, like he said, Gugu, you know, they should go and have town meetings. They should put on the radio what area they'd be in, advising the general public, let them know about the law, let them know also that if you're leaving your abandoned yard
unattended,
government can acquire it if it's not serving a good
purpose.
Because we want the area to be beautified, but also at the same time, we want fairness. So if the yard fencing, I think the government owes the property owners or those who are taking care of the caretakers an apology, because we are trying to make the Bahamas a better place, you know.
Yes.
So I think the minister, Mr. Keith Bell, he just, it's a great initiative, but we got
to
benefit.
Speak
we got
to
know how much the property, we got
to
know how much the property costs.
Value that.
Yeah, and we got to know the value. We got to know what's in it for us.
Yeah, that's have a market value.
And we don't want people coming out the area getting these properties. Yeah, we can't be biased. Yes, a person can probably get a property from one, if it's a poor person from a different area and there's nothing else available, because, you know, we can't just say, you just live in the area, the host has got to be for everyone in the area. No, man, we all be humans, you understand? But it has to be where we have first preference in the community. We're going to take this last call. We can take this last call, Wally. Caller, you're going to have to make it real quick, please.
Scrooge.
Hey.
I think you're off someplace. Every piece of land in the Bahamas are registered in land of survey. All you have to do... Say it again? No, what I'm saying is, right, I'm telling you something. Every land in the Bahamas are record are in the land of survey.
Yes.
You just got to take the time to know who did own it, what number it is, and go to land and survey and do the research and see who was the real owner from whence it came.
Yes.
But that's a difficult task because a lot of the information that would have been to the land and survey, I think a lot of some of those documents would have been distorted and so forth because, you know, we're coming from analog and going to dialogue and, you know, you're trying to digitalize those old documentations and so forth like that. But they have a registry in regards of a layout of all of the plan surveyed.
They mark them out.
Yeah, they have a plan
surveyed. They have a plan surveyed. They got the drawings up and stuff like that.
But
you'd have to go to a department
to do a proper research, a title search, and the title search then will basically tell you who was the last one.
It's a good initiative, but they just need to explain more. You know, I think the guy, when he put up some of the signs, he truly don't understand exactly where he was putting those signs because people live...
People lived in some of those places, right? So some people that's their dwelling home.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're putting
that's the confusion
on a person dwelling home that the government want to take these people out. I mean, so what you gonna do? You're gonna put me in a four story house now?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing. Like you know, like I said, a town hall meeting is needed. I think the minister responsible for urban renewal and housing, I think that he and his team should be able to give an account of time to the medias, to the regular proper channels, and say to the people that these are areas that we're going to have our town meetings in, and the information that you need providing the new regentrification of these communities and so forth, this is the place you come and voice your opinion and even have a conversation, a dialogue, and we tell you what are the new requirements in regards to going forward.
Yes. I agree with you, because there's so much can come out of this. You know, some of those places, we see two-story buildings that can be turning into little small malls and turning into small businesses for residents who live in that community, you know.
Bed and breakfasts.
So this there's a lot can come out of it, but we just want the government to do it the right way. Places like Elroy, you know, they were kind of getting, not to say paranoid, because Elroy, he got his lawyers and stuff like that.
Just don't gorilla the poor people. That's what we're trying to say. Don't gorilla the poor people.
Just don't gorilla the poor people. Just be upfront with us. Let us know what's going on. But we need the community to be beautified. We don't need to see abandoned houses, all kind of old cars. We understand people has their business, stuff like that. But, man, come on, man. You get children. They have a roaches.
But I like the fact on the sign that says that the prime minister that responsible for the ground land and then the minister responsible for housing. I think that he, the prime minister, and he, which is the minister responsible for housing, I think that is a joint effort from them to say to the Bahamian people, this is the way we are structurally going forward
for the
brain and grandstand or this particular area or that particular area. Say this to us. Have a town hall meeting and then find out from us some of the inputs and what we think to make our area better, because the reality is we live there.
Yes.
Some people pass through, but y'all live there.
We need development. And there are thousands of abandoned houses in this country that could go to at-risk young single-parent home parent, persons who have disabilities. Because we have a lot of people who pass away and they have disabled children who don't have no place to go, living in a hostel and stuff. So this could be a great opportunity for social service for some of these abandoned houses around the country.
To be a part of it.
To be a part of it, to get some of these persons under some roof. You understand what I'm saying? In the country.
But do it the right way.
But just do it the right way. You understand? The initiative is a great idea, but the way how they're doing it right now. But like you said, we can make amendments to it. You know, we can make amendments of some things you recommend when you're talking to the property owners, helping the district meeting, showing us the design of the house. It's going to be a two-room, three-room. How much the property is going to be sold for? If I was to sell my property, what is going to be the agreement? You know, you understand?
Less empower the ghetto people.
So that at the end of the day, I could win. You might, like I said, then they might be my property. I just didn't have no money. And I might could go to the government and in this 30 day and say to them, I would like to build a house on it. I don't have no place. They just ain't have no money. And they might, you know,
consider it.
So there's so much option, but we must do it in the right way. You understand? I like the initiative, but there's some things going on wrong. But I, like I say, we could amend.
So tell the minister responsible for housing and urban renewal.
Yes.
I suggest that you get your crew together and you start a campaign.
Yes.
Where the people in the community can know what exactly.
How much houses in this particular street? Like we have 100 houses. We like the acquisition. And we like the owners, name the streets off, the corners and houses so that these people can know about it and give them an opportunity for his preference. You understand? You hear what they have to say. And that's what we want. We want fairness, you know? Because we always say the poor, they always take water. So the poor people, we ain't getting no lawyer. Elroy's, we ain't getting no lawyer and stuff like that, you know? But we are our own lawyer.
We're the fight
and
listen, for the poor people. That's you,
bro. We're poor, but we're rich. Listen to me. When we stick together, we ain't poor. You know when we poor? When we separated. That's when we poor.
Unity is
that's what poor is. You understand? So you want to say anything, Google, before I go?
All I say, keep on big up yourself, Mr. Brown. continue pushing for the ghetto people. Continue to push for the ghetto superstars, Elroy and all of them inside the ghetto.
Omar, bless up, Omar. What Omar, place name on Wolf Road, man? I can't remember the rest.
Master creation.
Master creation.
Big up Omar to Master Creation. Big up Elroy, all the ghetto youth, them, yes. And who holding it down and making sure that the ghetto maintain its position in the country.
Old Crooked Mini. Like
you can't forget Minnie now. You got to say Minnie.
So to everyone, big up Charles. To everyone who listen to the show, we all here for you. You understand? That's why we use this platform to talk about things that can work in the inner city community. You understand? This can work, but they have to do it in the right way. We can't be oppressing people. The people poor, give them an opportunity, their first preference. Show them the respect needed. Go on the news. Tell them the minister would be around walking the area. We have 100 properties that we like the acquisition. We like all the owners to come. We could try to acquisition these properties within 30 days to come out and meet us in person.
In the town hall meeting. Support the ghetto shops, support the entrepreneurs.
Okay, producers, it's time to go. We'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City. I'm Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. They call me Daddy as well. My good co-host
in Ian Mannings.
Ian Mannings, cuckoo.
AJ. Go.
Sell your TV and buy a farm, my kid.